friends, and welcome to another Cup of Joe podcast on this Friday, February the 28th. And wherever you are, whenever you are listening to this, I wish you God's grace, I wish you God's life, I wish you God's goodness. And my friends, we are going to look at the readings for this coming weekend, the 8th Sunday in Ordinary Time. And it is the last Sunday in Ordinary Time that you and I will experience for the next 4 months. The next time we will enter into Ordinary Time will be late June. Now, why is that, you ask? Because, as you know, this coming Wednesday, we're going to enter into the season of Lent with Ash Wednesday, right? And then we'll be in Lent for 40-ish days. And then after that, of course, we will be in the Triduum and the season of Easter for 50-ish days. And then after that, the church in her wisdom likes to put in a couple of extra feast days, the Feast of the Holy Trinity, the Feast of the Body and Blood of Christ. And then after all of that, we'll be in Ordinary Time again. So for the next, 4 months or so, we go from Ordinary Time to what is called Privilege Time, time set aside with a different purpose. And so my hope for you and I is that as we enter these times for different purposes, that they may have the effect on us and on our spirit and on our families and communities that the Spirit of God intends for them. All of that to say, let's celebrate Ordinary Time one last time together, shall we? And in doing so, we are not going to read this weekend the first reading in the Gospel like I almost always do. This weekend, we're going to read the second reading in our Gospel. Why? Because the first reading is Sirach, which God loves Sirach. He's a good guy. I'm sure he was just, you know, top shelf. But it's just kind of conventional wisdom proverbs. They're fine. They're fine. Enjoy them when you hear them this weekend. But to me, they just aren't really stunning. They don't move my heart a lot. And so the second reading is really good. It's Paul's letter to the Corinthians, his first letter, and it's got some really good stuff. So let's dive in there. So for those who like to follow along, we're going to read out of 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 54 to 58. And then the gospel, we're going to pick up exactly where we left off, and that's Luke's Sermon on the Plain, which is going through it verse by verse. And that'll be Luke chapter 6, verses 39 to 45, okay? So again, however it is, my friends, that you prepare yourself, that you open yourself, that you ready yourself to hear the Word of God, that it may find a good home within you, I invite you to do that at this time as we break open God's Word together. A reading from the first letter of Paul to the Corinthians. Brothers and sisters, when this which is corruptible clothes itself with incorruptibility, and this which is mortal clothes itself with immortality, then the word that is written shall come about, death is swallowed up in victory. Where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting? The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brothers and sisters, be firm, steadfast, always fully devoted to the work of the Lord, knowing that in the Lord your labor is not in vain. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. And as I always say, brothers and sisters, I know many of you heard this so many times. Forgive me. I always say it in case there are people listening for the first time. But if there is something in hearing the word, not just the word we just heard there, but the gospel here shortly, if the Spirit of God puts something on your heart, an image, an idea, a phrase, a thought, a word, whatever it is, something comes to mind in hearing that, allow the Spirit of God to work with you on that, whether that is immediately right now and you turn off the podcast and do that, fantastic, or whether it's later today or tonight before you go to bed. Don't forget it. Let the Spirit do what the Spirit needs to do in working with you through that thought, idea, phrase, and bring you to where the Spirit needs to bring you, okay? All right, let's break open the gospel. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke. Jesus told his disciples a parable. Can a blind person guide a blind person? Will not both fall into a pit? No disciple is superior to the teacher, but when fully trained, every disciple will be like their teacher. Why do you notice the splinter in your brother's eye, but do not perceive the wooden beam in your own? How can you say to your brother, "Brother, let me remove that splinter in your eye," when you do not even notice the wooden beam in your own eye? You hypocrite. Remove the wooden beam from your eye first. Then you will see clearly to remove the splinter in your brother's eye. A good tree does not bear rotten fruit, nor does a rotten tree bear good fruit. For every tree is known by its own fruit. For people do not pick figs from thorn bushes, nor do they gather grapes from brambles. A good person out of the store of goodness in their heart produces good, but an evil person out of a store of evil produces evil. For from the fullness of the heart, the mouth speaks. My friends, the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. Let's start with Paul, right? Now, Paul, I know it can be easy to have a love-hate relationship with Paul. Paul sometimes can be arrogant. I mean, we know that. Paul, unpacking it can be difficult at times. He can be dense. He can be just like filled with I don't know. It's just kind of sometimes it's difficult to move through because I'm like, where is this man going? I mean, even look at these first two lines. When this which is corruptible clothes itself in incorruptibility, and this which is mortal clothes itself with immortality. What on earth is he talking about? Brothers and sisters, he's merely saying this. And he's a learned man, so he's saying it beautifully, I'm sure. But he's basically saying, hey, you and I, we live in a world where everything is perishing, right? Everything is dying. Even, you know, the world around us, the trees, the birds, the grass of the field, our own beings. Death is a part of our very existence, decay. But when that which experiences decay finds itself in a place where there is no longer any decay, no corruptibility, as Paul is saying, or no more mortality, no more death, then we will have reached the point where this, and this is a song that must have been sung, a hymn at the time, where he says, this becomes true. Death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting? Because that which is experienced death no longer is experiencing death. It is experiencing life. Eternal life, incorruptibility, immortality. He's saying there will come a time when that is no longer true. And in Paul's understanding of the resurrection, that time has already been put in place. That there will come a time when all of creation will experience it. You know, Revelation calls it the New Jerusalem. I mean, again, that's wording we just don't use in our life. But that we are moving, time is moving toward a time, toward a place, toward an event where all of creation will no longer experiencing death or decay. And how did that start? It started in the person of Jesus Christ, who experienced resurrection, whom God raised from the dead as a sort of first fruits. Now, again, there's another word that we never use, basically saying, as so it happened to Christ, so that is the pattern. That is now the new pattern. Paul, in all of his study, in all of his understanding, looked at that and had to take years to come up with this. He didn't just like hit him over the forehead, but he came up after all looking at all of this and said, God is doing a new thing. that the pattern that Jesus showed us in the resurrection is indeed the pattern for us. And so we can say, death, where is your sting? Where is your victory? Because the grave is empty. Now, we're going to talk more about that in about 3 months, right, when we experience Easter. And that's going to be really, well, not 3 months, maybe 2 months, but that's going to be really exciting. Because we celebrate not just what happened to Jesus, we celebrate this new pattern that Paul is pointing us toward right here today. And we do believe it, but we are not experiencing it in full yet, right? Which is why, brothers and sisters, as beautiful as these verses are, they are, it's okay to look at them with a cocked eye, right? Or a raised eyebrow. Because it's like, death does sting still. And we all know that. And we don't want to belittle that. And every person here listening, and certainly me speaking, knows that, right? Anybody who has lost someone close, a parent, anyone who is a spouse who has lost their lover, anyone who, a parent who has lost their child, anyone who has lost a close friend knows death does have a sting because we still live in mortality. We still experience it every day. And we grieve. But I don't think Paul is saying, brothers and sisters, do not grieve those losses in your life. Any more than Jesus in John 14, verse 1, the night before he's going to die, and he's preparing the disciples for his death, but his first line is, do not let your hearts be troubled. You know, I don't think he's saying to us, any more than Paul is here, do not let your hearts be troubled with death. That we no longer need to worry about it at all, and when our loved ones die, we should be experiencing no more grief. No, stop that. Our emotions are part of who we are. And of course we grieve. And of course we mourn and we miss them and we hurt. The world is not better through these deaths. But what Paul is saying, what Jesus is saying is, Jesus says, I'm going to set up a new pattern. Paul is saying the pattern has been set because he's looking in hindsight, that we do not need to despair. Now, those things are different, right? Of course we grieve, but we do not despair because death does not have the final word. And that, brothers and sisters, that is something that we not only can stand upon, but we can build our foundation upon. Death does not have the final word. And what Paul says here is beautiful and right. Now, and that is worth celebrating. It is. But let's talk about the gospel. Because the gospel invites us to a kind of death too. And it's a tough one too. So Jesus starts out, again, we just heard love your enemies, right? Jesus is saying some hard stuff. And we need to know, it is difficult. Okay, he says, listen, can a blind person lead a blind person? They're both going to fall in a pit. We know that, right? No disciple is better than their teacher. However, when fully trained, the disciple becomes like their teacher. I would guess that we become that which we focus upon, right? It's why Jesus said you can't serve God and money, or the ways of the world, ultimately, which is what mammon is, more than just money. You can't serve God and power. You can't serve God and control. You can't serve God and greed. Because if we're looking at the ways of the world, we are going to become like the ways of the world. It doesn't mean we have to go, you know, be like the desert fathers and mothers and go off and be away from society. But in living in culture, the culture cannot ferment us. We need to ferment the culture, right? We are salt and light, is what Jesus reminds us in the Sermon on the Mount, not on the plain. Go back to Matthew chapter 5, that we season the food. That yes, we're going to live in the world, but we can't be of the world. And so we have to continue to look at our teacher, our God, through Jesus Christ, And the more we look at that, the more we focus on that, the more we remember that, the more we become like that. Okay, so then he goes into the death that I want to talk about. Why do we notice the splinter in our brother's eye, but do not perceive it in our own? How can we say to our brother or sister, let me remove that splinter, when we don't even notice it? Well, and he nails us, and he says, well, of course, you meatballs, you gotta get rid of the splinter in your own eye first, and then you can get rid of the splinter or the wooden beam in your own eye. Then you can see clearly to see the splinter in your brother's or sister's eye. And brothers and sisters, the only way I would move into that is saying, well, of course, what Jesus says here is true. And because he's he's naming human nature, that there is something about us in humanity that likes to see only the good within ourselves and ignore, bury, look away from those parts of ourselves that are less lovely. I don't shame anybody for doing that. I just think that's how we're raised. It's how we're built. It's how we're made. But what our God says is, but listen, how can we criticize other people when we see their blind spots, when we notice them right out loud, out in front of God and everybody, when we don't even notice our own? What kind of a teacher are we? What kind of a leader are we? We're both going to fall into a pit if one assumes they can speak and they don't have their own blind spots. I think what our God is inviting us through Jesus Christ is to say, brothers and sisters, what's going on in your heart? You know, I think so often, and I don't want to cast aspersions at the Catholic Church. I think it does beautiful and wonderful things. But I think we learn these things at such a young age, and then we kind of hold on to them. Like, you know, many of us went to our first experience of reconciliation when we were in second grade or fourth grade. So we were, let's say, 7 years old or 9 years old. Because why? Because, you know, Aquinas and all his wisdom said that's the age of reason, and therefore we know good from bad, and we can start confessing, and we confess our sin, and that's what we focus on. You know, bless me, Father, for I've sinned. What's my sin? Okay, it was A, B, and C. I get absolved, thanks be to God, by the Spirit through the priest, and go out and you know, wait until the next time, and I go back in and do it again. And I focus on what those external things are, right? Because that's sin. But what I think Jesus is inviting us to, what I think Paul is inviting us to, is saying sin is just the part of the iceberg on the top that the Titanic could see. But it was the iceberg underneath that sunk the Titanic, which is, okay, maybe these actions are the sin up here that the ship is seeing, but where do those come from? Where do those actions come from? What are the intentions? What's going on within our spirit, within our heart, within our intentions, within our very being that causes us to act out in that way, that seeks something that we're moving toward in those outer actions? If all we do is focus on the outer, and we keep going and asking forgiveness for the outer, Jesus is saying, what's going on within your heart that you are desiring that? And that's what needs to be looked at. That's what needs to be changed. That's our blind spot. And until and unless we own that and say, yes, that this is who I am, that I have needs and longings here at this deeper level, or insecurities, or vulnerabilities, or parts of me that I do not like, that what I'm called to do, brothers and sisters, is just simply name that. And that is a death of sorts. Because why is it a death? It's a death to the illusions and the fantasies and the infantile ideas. Did I just make up a word? I might have. Those ones that we just want to hold on to, that says, this is who I am. I'm good. Because if I ignore these other parts of me, I can presume and act like I'm a good person and I don't have to reconcile these other actions or desires within me or those incomplete places in my life. And what I would say to you, what I think our God says to you, is of course you're a good person. You are made in the image and likeness of God. You are the beloved daughter. You are the beloved son. That's a given. But you are the beloved daughter, the beloved son, who carries incompleteness, who carries corruptibility and mortality. And all we need to do is name that and say, but these are my insecurities. These are my areas of incompleteness. These are my areas of blind spot, my areas of struggle, my areas that I simply can't get around, those desires I have that I'm ashamed of, or those thoughts that I have that I do not understand where they come from. And it simply takes ownership of those. And I think in taking ownership of them, we can finally, when we let those fantasies and notions of ourselves being perfect or good because of what we do and how we act outwardly, when we can really get below and see that iceberg underneath the water and own it and give it to God and say, God, I don't know what to do with this and I don't know where it comes from, but you alone can help me deal with that. And I don't think, my friends, that we'll ever be rid of some of that stuff. I think we will take it all the way to the grave with us. And again, I don't think that's a moment to despair at, but I think it's a moment to allow our God to love us fully for who we are. And in God loving us fully for who we are, in accepting these blind spots, these wooden beams that we have in our eye, we can begin to love ourselves and thus begin to love the other with their splinter and remind them that they are loved and good and it's okay too. I don't know that we ever get the wooden beam or splinter out of who we are. I think we will carry corruptibility with us all our life because we have not come to the age of incorruptibility yet. We're moving that way, brothers and sisters. And the more I think we can give our full self to our God and allow our God to work on our heart, the more we will be created in the image and likeness of our teacher. I believe all that is true. Just know and be kind to yourself that we're never fully going to get there. If perfection is what we seek, then again, that might be a blind spot because we need to be perfect before God can love us. We'll never get there. But I think it's being honest because, brothers and sisters, we have blind spots as individuals. And because we have blind spots as individuals, our families have blind spots. And because our families are made up of blind spots, our communities are made up of blind spots. And because our communities are made up of blind spots, our countries are made up, our world is made up of blind spots. We can only move past them when we own them and say yes to who we are. Then, brothers and sisters, then, when we have reached that death of our own invulnerability, of our own imperfections, that we are not this perfect person that we hoped and thought, then, brothers and sisters, I think we have something to say. Then we have something to be able to teach and can lead one another in truth and in honesty and allow the Spirit of God to shape and form us. Death is difficult. There is a time and a place where we will reach that victory, and we have seen it already, and we follow after it and believe and trust it. But it is difficult. So let's pray. We begin in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. The second sorrowful mystery, the scourging at the pillar. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. Blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. Blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. Blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. Blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. Blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. Blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. Blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. Blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. Blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. Blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. O my Jesus, forgive us our sins, save us from the fires of hell. Lead all souls to heaven, especially those in most need of thy mercy. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. My friends, bless you. Thank you for being with me here as we read God's word together. May your week ahead be filled with every good blessing. Be well. God's peace.